Welcome to the Weekly Insight Podcast, where we break down the noise of the week and help you understand the psychology of the markets with your host, Andrew Doerr at Insight Wealth Group.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the Weekly Insight Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Andrew Doerr. Just a quick note before we get started that we will not be having a podcast next week. Sadly, I've got to be traveling and I won't have a chance to record. So we will take a week off and we will return the following week. I believe that would be the 19th of February. Also, as we're diving in, I'll say what I say every week to start, which is just that what we're about to talk about today is my opinion and our firm's opinion on what's happening in the market and the economy. It does not necessarily relate to your personal portfolio, but if you'd like to discuss that with us, I'd encourage you to give us a call. Now let's go ahead and dive in. Fed week. Last week was Fed week. It's come and gone, and the results were initially as expected. Powell spoke and threw some cold water on the idea of interest rate cuts, and the market dropped dramatically. We've talked about this a lot before. Powell steps to the podium, and 9 times out of 10, it's not good news for the market. But strangely, then we rallied. And the next 2 days in the market were really quite good. The market ended the week up nearly 1.4% in the S&P 500. Why? What happened? We're going to dive into that this week. We'll start with Powell's comments. As we've discussed before in this podcast, Fed meeting day, which is actually 2 days, it culminates in two events. The first is the release of the FOMC statement at 2 p.m. Eastern, and then Chairman Powell's press conference at 2:30 p.m. Eastern. And the statement from the FOMC that starts it is usually a very short document, 1 to 2 pages, but it gets reviewed very, very closely for any minute changes in the language. And there were a few this month, but they all led us in the same direction. The FOMC is no closer to cutting rates than they were last month. I'll quote from the statement here. The committee does not expect it will be appropriate to reduce the target range, that's interest rates, until it has gained greater confidence that inflation is moving sustainably towards 2%. Okay, that's their opinion, and they have more than 400 PhD economists looking at this stuff. That's way more than we've got here at Insight. But what is the definition of sustainably towards 2%? When will we meet it? Because as we talked about on this podcast last week, we've been at 2% for core PCE. That's the number the Fed supposedly looks at. We've been there for 6 months. But it was Powell's comments in the press conference that made it clear we're not getting rate cuts soon. First, he addressed the idea of a March rate cut. You may recall some commentary we had a couple weeks ago. We had a podcast called What If the Consensus is Wrong? And at that point, the market was placing nearly 80% odds on a March rate cut and was expecting 7 rate cuts before the end of the year. Powell and company are not there. Here's what he said. Quote, we're going to be looking at this meeting by meeting. Based on the meeting today, I would tell you that I don't think it's likely that the committee will reach a level of confidence by the time of the March meeting to identify March as a time to do that. End quote. Couldn't be clearer. They're not planning on cutting rates in March. Now that could change, but right now that's where they're at. The market seems to have gotten on board with this idea. Right now we have a majority opinion, albeit just 62%, that the Fed will hold rates steady in March. But that hasn't stopped the market from concluding that we will still have 6 rate cuts this year. Powell was, however, pretty optimistic in his comments about both the state of the economy and the trajectory for inflation. That led to one of the best questions of the press conference, in my opinion. It came from Simon Rabinovich from The Economist. And I'll paraphrase what he said here, but he basically said, listen, if 6 months of good inflation data wasn't enough now, and when we get to the March meeting, we'll theoretically have 8 months of good inflation data, which, according to what you said, Chairman Powell, that's not going to be enough to cut rates. How much good data do we need for the Fed to feel confident about rates? Powell's answer was really indicative to me of what is going on inside these FOMC meetings, because he said, quote, it's not that we don't have any confidence. We have growing confidence, but it's a highly consequential decision to start the process of dialing back on restrictions. We want to get that right. We just want to make sure that we do get the job done in a sustainable way, end quote. A sustainable way. Powell just admitted to the Fed's real motivation, And it's what we talked about in our podcast last week. They are more concerned about lowering rates and then inflation creeps back in and they have to jack rates back up again. They're more concerned about that 1970s on and off again thing than they are about keeping rates too high, too long, and causing a recession. That's where they're at. I hope they're right. So with all of that, why was the market up 1.4% last week, despite Powell essentially saying we're not cutting rates until at least May? If we're so disappointed in the path of the Fed, clearly the biggest driver of the market for the last 2 years, why did we end the week on a high note? There's a few reasons, and I think they're worth noting. The first, just bluntly, the market still doesn't believe Powell. I won't belabor the point, but the data we talked about before makes it. There is still over one-third of market participants, 38%, that think we will see a cut in March despite everything Powell said on Thursday. And fully 94% of market participants think we'll see rate cuts starting in May. From there, there is a lot of consensus about the path forward. 95% of participants think we're going to see 5 or more rate cuts. Nearly 70% believe we'll see 6 or more. The market continues to refuse to reset that consensus. I hope they're right, but we need to consider what 3 or 4 rate cuts would mean to the market instead of 5 or 6. Bluntly, even at that level, I'd be pretty happy, but it may change the market's trajectory. Second of all, we got great economic data last week. Powell's comments can't change the raw data we're seeing, and the raw data is really good. Consumer confidence numbers came out on Tuesday, and they're the best we've seen since before inflation started back in July of 2021. Manufacturing PMI data came out and had us back in the quote-unquote expansionary range for the first time since March of 2022. And then there was the jobs data on Friday. It blew expectations out of the water. The economy created 317,000 new jobs last month, which was more than double the expectation and was the best number we'd seen in almost a year. This economy is cooking. In fact, it may be cooking just a little bit too much. That may be what keeps Powell and company on their heels in fear of reigniting inflation. And the third one comes back to the Magnificent Seven that we talked about a couple weeks ago. Now, you know that I'm a bit concerned, we as a firm are a bit concerned about the valuations of the Magnificent Seven tech stocks. Meta, formerly Facebook, is one of the more reasonably priced of the Magnificent Seven. It has a PE ratio of 32. Just to put that into perspective, the long-term average of the stock market is about 16.5. So Meta's valuation is just a smidge under 2x the long-term average. And that's one of the more reasonably priced members of the Magnificent Seven. In their earnings call last week, Meta announced a dividend of 50 cents per share for the quarter, theoretically $2 per share per year. At the share price prior to their call, that would have been a dividend of about 0.5% per year. But that was the price before the call. Because over the next day, the price shot up $84 a share. That's right, some investor out there paid $84 extra to access $2 a year in dividend. That means they would have to hold the stock for 42 years to justify the premium they just paid for the stock. Sometimes we just don't get it. This is one of those times. This does not seem to be justified to us. But it worked out well for Mark Zuckerberg. As the owner of 350 million Meta shares, the dividend will pay him an extra $700 million a year, and the $84 per share jump in price just grew his net worth by $30 billion. Not a bad day for Mark. So now we turn to this week. With the Fed meeting behind us and the economy looking to be on sure footing, this week is all about earnings. We have over 100 S&P 500 companies that are going to report earnings this week. It will be nice to get back to talking about market fundamentals. And when we come back to this podcast next time, we'll give you an update on earnings. With that, we'll wrap it up. If you have any questions or comments or would like to discuss this with us further, I'd encourage you to give us a call here at the office at 515-273-1333. Or you can always visit us on the web at www.insightwealthgroup.com. I hope you have a fantastic week, and I look forward to touching base with you again soon. Take care.
Securities offered through Arete Wealth Management, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Arete Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment firm.